I'm in a greenhouse surrounded by the most exquisite flowers. There are almost sort of voluptuous, gorgeous petals. And I'm standing with Michael Marriott at David Austin Roses. Michael, I've got a little bit of a thing going on at the moment with supporting British cut flowers. And one of the things I'm encouraging the sort of people who have gardens to do is to buy some roses and cut their own. And effectively, in my vegetable garden, I have some courgettes and I have a rosemary bush and various other bits and pieces. And I've now popped three eglantine in my garden purely just for cut flowers for the house. Is this something that you're finding people are doing more and more?
Yeah, so of course, I mean, cutting roses for the house has been one of the things that people have done for centuries and millennia, really. So yes, I very much support people cutting their own roses and bringing them in the house. It's a great way of being able to appreciate them close at hand. And of course, one of the great things is being able to smell them and appreciate their fragrance even more.
So have you got any tips for when you actually cut the roses themselves? Would you say that there's a particular way of cutting them that is important?
Yeah, one of the, certainly when I cut roses from my garden, I'm tempted to not to spoil the bush and sort of go creep round the back a bit, you know, and cut the flowers with the rather twiggy stems so it doesn't spoil the overall look of in the garden. But in fact, that's the sort of the rose that won't last very long when you bring it into the house. So resist that temptation. Try to go for a good, strong, stout stem. And cut a flower that's not too open, more at the bud stage, and bung them straight into water. So cut them straight, have your bucket of water with you, and then cut them again underwater, because what happens is that the vessels within the stem, they get air pockets in them when you cut them. So if you cut another inch or two off them when they're actually in water, then there's no air pockets, and so they can carry on taking water up the stem and put them in a cool place as soon as possible.
So if we wanted something, there are so many varieties of David Austin. Now, I have to say, I mean, I'm like a child in a sweetie shop. Whenever I come here, my credit card quivers in fright because I can't escape without buying roses from here. And they always do so very well in my garden. So I'm lucky in that sense. But which varieties would you? I mean, you have so many to choose from, but which varieties would you pick as sort of cut flowers for a quintessentially English bowl of roses?
For me, I know. I suppose I would look for obviously a beautiful flower and fragrance. Fragrance is so important to me. So things like Gertrude Jekyll is absolutely superb. There's one variety which is called Harlow Carr, which is very demon of roses, because it's completely covered in thorns, but actually it's the most beautiful fragrance, lovely shape of flower, and a lovely sort of shape. So what I like to get away from is sort of stiff upright. The cut roses you buy from your florist, you know, they're not very easy to arrange when you take them into the house, and this sort of rather more relaxed look of the garden English roses produce really beautiful arrangements. So, but you've got intermediate ones. I mean, things like Sceptred Isle are very good. Munstead Wood, the most beautiful red one, which has got a fantastic sort of fruity old rose fragrance. And if you want to go down the yellow line, I suppose something like Charlotte or even Graham Thomas is very good too. Just about all of them. It depends. Some of them will last a bit longer in the vase and some of them not so long. But it depends how well you look after them, how well you grow them. You know, grow them as well as possible is important too.
It's obviously something that you do the cut flowers. You don't grow them in England. I think I was chatting with Nicola earlier and she was saying that the CO2 emissions and what you would have to put out for growing them in England just would be environmentally not very friendly at all.
That's right. People demand roses 12 months a year, like they demand a lot of fruit and vegetables. And so if people were very happy just to have them for a limited season, then it would probably be, you could just grow them in the greenhouse with no heating at all, and that would be okay. But since we grow them 12 months, people want them 12 months a year, then they have to be shipped in from over there. So to heat a greenhouse to grow them, to get them to flower in the middle of the winter, takes a huge amount of oil. So it's actually much more efficient just to grow them in Kenya, where there's no heating or lighting required, and then fly them across. And the other positive thing is actually you are supplying a lot of employment for the local people out there, which is very good, because otherwise, you know, they don't have any source of income.
I've been quite worried about this, because when I've been buying roses, and I was quite shocked at myself when I wrote about this, that I hadn't given any consideration to the provenance of the roses that I'd bought. And for me, obviously, chatting with yourself and with Nicola, there's obviously an accountability with David Austin, that you know sort of who's picked them and who's grown them. But the people that actually look after them over in Kenya, you have a policy and you look after them very well, don't you?
Yes, they're a fair trade nursery. And yes, we're very careful that they look after their staff properly. They house them properly, give them good wages. And obviously that pays off in that the roses, the quality of the roses that we get across here are very good too. If you were to buy roses or other cut flowers just off the side of the road, the chances are they probably have been grown in not very good conditions and with employing people that are not well looked after. And the chance also that they won't last nearly so long as roses have been grown properly.
One of the things that I read that really quite upset me was that in certain parts of the world, certain chemicals and pesticides are being used that are actually banned in the UK. Is that something that you've... I mean, the cut flower industry is not always... I mean, you're the sort of creme de la creme of the cut flower industry. It's not actually that pretty industry, is it?
Well, that's right. It can potentially be pretty horrible, but so that's all more reason to go to a reputable supplier who's going to supply plants and flowers that are not going to be toxic when you bring them into the house. And that's one of the things, you know, you talk about making rose petal jelly and things like that, and just having them in the house and touching them. Of course, you're touching them all the time. Children are touching them, sniffing them. And if those petals are covered with pesticides, it's not at all a good thing. So, yes, you have to be a little bit careful about that sort of thing. And the regulations over there, the best in the world, are probably not as good as they are over in this country. So it is, from that point of view, certainly worth buying from a good, reputable source.
David Austin Roses has been going for many years. How many years exactly has it been going for?
Since 1969, so however many years that is.
We won't count. We won't 43 count.
Years,
43 years.
Yeah, it's a quick calculation.
That's wonderful. And how many different varieties have you got now?
Of the garden roses, we've introduced over the time sort of 200, 250 or something like that. And on our catalogue at the moment, there's about sort of 150 odd, I think, something like that. And then of the cut flower varieties, we have about 7 or 8 or maybe 10 on the go at the moment.
So, I mean, there's pretty much a rose for any occasion, for anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the roses, people are a bit sniffy about roses, because they think they're sort of, they're sort of too popular. But in fact, you know, what other plant can potentially have a beautiful flower, fantastic fragrance, be easy to look after, and flower for 5 or 6 months of the year? I mean, there's nothing else that can even start to approach what a valuable plant a rose is. So the great secret when you're deciding on a rose is to choose a good variety, because some varieties are absolute rubbish and some are absolutely fantastic. So take a little bit of time to choosing a really, really good variety, one that's going to fit into your garden, and you'll be really happy with it, hopefully for years to come.
Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure to be in your greenhouse. I don't know how you're going to drag me out of here, frankly. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you very much for coming.